over the past 7 or 8 episodes of our Bible study on this, and the past 2 or 3 chapters of the first book of Kings, where we are now, we've spent quite a lot of time studying what I call the piece parts of Solomon's temple, the various parts of it, the lavers, the altar, all of these different parts, and also the construction of these things, the construction of the temple, and also their relative locations within the temple precinct. So let's now, as we begin part 62, let's have a recap of episode 61, in which we studied the following items and their possible symbolisms. First of all, what's called the bases, or in the New King James Version, the carts and the lavers, and the symbolic washings, the locations of the lavers and of what's called the molten sea, and then a few more miscellaneous temple items, and then we finished off by concentrating on the so-called candlesticks, or actually what were lampstands. Just as a side, I was listening on New Moon Day a couple of days ago, listening to Richard Page's one of his lectures on archaeology, and he was talking about the different kinds of lamps that there were historically going through the ages, how lamps actually evolved in their design. Okay, so these, what were in the temple were lampstands rather than candlesticks. Anyway, today our history takes us into chapter 8 of the first book of Kings, so 1 Kings chapter 8, and forward in time. But brethren, we're only going to get into one verse, verse 1 of 1 Kings 8, because we've got something to dig into here. So we're going to begin studying the so-called dedication of the new temple, of what we call Solomon's temple. So 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem. So apparently these were three groups of Israel's main leaders, the top leaders under Solomon himself. And according to my favorite Bible commentator, John Gill, first of all, the elders of Israel mentioned here might have been the judges of Israel, the judges who back then in Solomon's time held the posts that were set up back in Moses' time, that we read about in Exodus chapter 18 and Deuteronomy chapter 1. We don't have to turn there. And likely that was the group that was in later times referred to in the King James New Testament scriptures as the council, or in the Greek, Sonedrio, what we know as the Sanhedrin, what became the Sanhedrin eventually. The second group here in verse 1 was all the heads of the tribes, and that might refer to the princes of the 12 tribes, which we previously found listed back in chapter 4, and some of whom were of the royal tribe of Judah, not all of them, and some of them from the priestly tribe of Levi. And then the third group were the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel, and they were likely other principal senior men of the ancient families within every tribe. Say, when if God blessed you with a certain level of wisdom, once you get into your senior years back in the time of Israel, ancient Israel, you would be known as an elder or a father of the children of Israel. Okay, so they were gathered together. So what was the reason, though, that Solomon summoned all of these Israelite leaders together? What was the reason? What was the purpose? Why did he do it? Continuing, still in verse 1, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Okay. That they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And please note this alternate name, brethren, for the city of David. The alternative name is Zion. When you read the city of David, talking about Zion. When you read Zion, talking about the city of David. So why would Solomon, why would he bring together all of these leaders? Well, after what had happened to the man by the name of Uzzah, poor Uzzah, back during David's reign, Solomon knew that any movement of the Ark of the Covenant needed to be very carefully planned out and in strict accordance with the rules that God had set out and had documented when the Ark was first constructed way back in Moses' time. He laid down some laws and rules. That man Uzzah broke those rules and paid for it with his life. Anyway, Solomon knew that and didn't want that to happen again. So, okay, let's just read that second half there. That they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. But brethren, the King James Version's words of bring up, and more especially the words out of, which in the New King James Version is from, those words concern me, and they concern me greatly. Why? Why do they concern me? Because those words imply that the shelter that David had built to temporarily house the Ark of the Covenant was in a different location than that of Solomon's new temple. How different? Many believe, scholars and Bible readers believe, that they were on two different hills. David's temporary shelter on Mount Zion and Solomon's new temple on the so-called Mount Moriah. We're going to look into this a bit. Now, these facts might not seem so very important at this stage of our history of the Jews, but brethren, I believe that they really are, these facts really are very essential parts of the puzzle when it comes to the actual location of Solomon's temple. Most people believe that Solomon's temple existed up on the top of the Dome of the Rock, you know, in that area, up on that hill right there. I beg to differ, and I believe that the Bible begs to differ too. So we're going to look into that. And if it really is necessary for us to understand these somewhat controversial details, then we need to take some time to do some investigating. We need to do some detective work. So let's do that today, brethren. Let's do that today. So here in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1, the English preposition out of, or in the New King James Version, from, is translated from a tiny little Hebrew word, me. If you want to look that up, that's Strong's 4480. And it's true. This Hebrew word, me, or me, can be translated as out of or from, but as we're told in the well-respected theological word book of the Old Testament, and that's a good one to look up, that the theological word book of the Old Testament, this word may can also mean these same words out of or from, and it uses this word partitively, okay? It can also mean out of or from partitively, and I'll tell you what that means in a minute. It can also mean on account of or above, and most notably, on the side of, on the side of. And that's an important one that we're going to come back to. There's another good book, and it's called The Old Testament Hebrew English Lexicon by Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Okay, very well respected book. Brown, Driver, Briggs, Old Testament Hebrew English Lexicon. Okay, you can find that on the internet too. And it clarifies this by saying that this important little Hebrew word may, actually and properly, it says, means a part of. So the other guy said it's partitively, and Brown Driver Briggs says a part of, and hence from or out of in many senses, and then it gives some other alternatives: above, after, among, at, because of, by reason of, in, over, since, through, and with. Out of all of those, in this particular case, they're talking about the location of the Ark of the Covenant. I would say among, or in, or with. That would be my reading of it, and based on what the rest of what we're going to study now. So these meanings should alter our whole understanding of what is being said in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1. Let's go back in time now. Let's go back in time just for a few minutes. Let's go back to the time when David first restored the ark back to its Jerusalem home after its stay at the home of Obed-Edom following its disastrous capture by the Philistines in Saul's time, okay? So, I'll go into that in a minute. So let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Please turn there, brethren. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12. Actually, in the second half of verse 12, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12, second part. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Okay, now the verb there, brought up, is translated from the past tense of the same Hebrew verb that is used in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1, and that is alah, A-L-A-H, alah. And this verb, alah, might imply possibly that the place that the ark was brought up to, in other words, the city of David, was on a higher level of ground than that of the house of Obed-Edom. In other words, the city of David was on a hill or a mountain. And that makes very good sense if we notice the other name for the city of David, Zion, right? Or Mount Zion. So the Lord God apparently chose to inspire many, many repetitions of this double naming of the city of David in many, many scriptures. We'll just look at a couple of them right now. Please turn back a chapter to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. Okay? Zion is the same as the city of David. And this is the very first, this 2 Samuel 5, 7, is the very first Bible mention of Zion in the whole of the Bible. But there are many, many more mentions, brethren, and it's important to remember this too. There are a whopping 154 mentions in the Old Testament scriptures and seven more in the New Testament scriptures, mentions of Zion, for a total of 161. And I'll just give you a few more of the many examples. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 11 verse 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 verse 5, second half of the verse. Nevertheless, David took the castle, or the stronghold of Zion, which is the city of David. That's a basically a parallel scripture with 2 Samuel 5 there. But was this castle or the stronghold of Zion situated on elevated land? Well, yes, it was. Let's go back to Kings, 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 31. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 31. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion. Mount Zion. And this verse, the 2 Kings 19:31, is the very first Bible mention of Mount Zion. But again, there are many, many more. There's 32 more scriptures that talk about Mount Zion, and there are three other scriptures that refer to Zion as a hill. Okay? We're returning to 2 Samuel 6 again now, and David's recovery of the ark from the home of Obed-Edom. We find a past tense of that same verse, Allah, brought up again in verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Okay, it says David and all the house of Israel, but, you know, it was only the Levites. It was only the Levites and specifically authorized Levites who were authorized to actually carry the ark. And even then, they had to carry the ark using its specially made and authorized staves, it's called, or poles. Okay, these long poles that fitted through the rings on the sides of the ark for them to carry it. But once again, brethren, my concern is this. Exactly where did they bring the ark up to? Where did David and these people, the Israelites, the Levites, where did they bring the ark up to? Now, the following verse, verse 16, repeats the general area where the ark came to rest. Verse 16, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Okay, city of David is what? Zion or Mount Zion? And the next phrase of the same verse 16 might give us another clue. Still in verse 16, okay, and this is at some point in this procession, this joyful procession of David. This is the one where he dances before the Lord. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now, from what it says here about that she looked through a window, we might deduce that the window that Michal was looking through was one of the windows of David's palace, and that David's palace was within Jerusalem city of David's area, Mount Zion area. But also, some Bible scholars have come to think from this detail in this verse 16 that David might have even brought the ark into a special place within his own palace. And some Bible scholars say that. Other scholars disagree. perhaps thinking that Michal's window, the one that's talked about here, and the building that it belonged to, probably part of the palace, was merely mentioned here as being an intermediate place on the procession's route to the final destination of the ark. Okay? Verse 17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord. Okay, the word, the English word in there is translated from the Hebrew preposition yaviu. And again, the English equivalent in would indicate that they brought the ark into some kind of structure that had been set up specifically for it. And we know that that was true. Still in verse 17, and set it in his place. Now, the King James Version frequently uses the pronoun his, when in modern terminology, it really means it, okay? And most modern Bible versions render this example here is, and set it in its place, okay? But whether or not the ark was actually set in a place within David's palace, more specifically, where was it set? And the answer comes, still in verse 17, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. Okay? So, they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And this tabernacle that David had pitched for it was obviously not the old original tent tabernacle that the Lord had commanded to be built back in Moses' time. It wasn't, because during David's time, that old original tent tabernacle was still located at Gibeon, which is about 5, 6, 7 miles north of Jerusalem. But the question comes up, why did David have this new shelter built for the ark? Rather than, why didn't he return the ark back to the old tent tabernacle at Gibeon? Well, there's two reasons, at least two reasons. The two reasons that I could come up with are both of them are revealed in the parallel account of these events over in First Chronicles. Okay, so please turn to First Chronicles 21. So a couple of reasons then why, the question is, why did David have this new shelter built for the ark rather than returning the ark back to the old tent tabernacle at Gibeon? So, First Chronicles, in answer to this, firstly, most importantly, because the Lord God commanded it, okay? First Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 18. First Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 18. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, Gad was one of God's prophets, commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And secondly, because David feared what the Lord's angel might do both to himself and to his people. And we learn about this down in, still in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Jump down, please, to verse 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 29. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. Okay, so the old tent tabernacle built in Moses' time was located at that time at the altar of the burnt offering. Both of them were at that season, at that time, in the high place at Gibeon. And again, that was another high place, and that would have been another hill in the town of Gibeon, 6-7 miles away from Jerusalem, all right, and probably near the famous pool of Gibeon, because the tabernacle sacrifices required lots of water for their preparation. We learnt about that with the molten sea and all of the labors last time. Lots of water required. Anyway, still in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 30, look what this said. But David could not go before it, could not go before the old tent tabernacle, could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. And this reads a bit strange. To me, this reads a bit strangely, because at that time, the angel and that sword of the angel were not at the tabernacle at Gibeon. They were at around the threshing floor. But as John Gill's commentary tells us, the old tent tabernacle at Gibeon was still, up to that time, the proper place to seek the Lord. Also from John Gill's commentary says that David was so terrified by what the angel and his sword had already done as the Lord's punishment for David's unauthorized census that David feared that if he attempted to leave Araunah's threshing floor and to go to the tabernacle at Gibeon, the old tent tabernacle at Gibeon, that while he was absent from Jerusalem, that punishing angel might resume his terrible slaughter there. Also, perhaps, as the Lord had commanded David to build this new altar of burnt offering around his threshing floor, David might have been afraid that it might have displeased the Lord for David to have left it right then, when it had been shown him that this new place, this new location, was the place where the new stone temple should be built and where the sacrifices should be offered from now on. And that comes to us in the very next verse, that information. And it goes into a new chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 1 is what it says. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 verse 1. Then David, and you have to remember, brethren, there's no chapter and verse separation in the original Hebrew. It goes right from, the end of chapter 21 without, there's no chapter 21. It just goes right through. Then it says, David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel." Okay, so the Ark of the Covenant with its mercy seat, in other words, the earthly throne of God, had been separated from the Lord's earthly dwelling place, the old tent tabernacle. They'd been separated since the Ark had been captured by the Philistines way back in King Saul's day. And that capture of the holy Ark of the Covenant by heathen Gentiles and its separation from the tent tabernacle had evidently been allowed by the Lord God, or even more likely brought about by the Lord God, because of the rebellion and the idolatry and because of the other major sins of Saul, but not only of Saul, but also of his Israelite subjects. And we studied all of that back in 1 Samuel. The earthly throne of the Lord God was the Ark of the Covenant. So the Lord's earthly throne, the Ark, and his earthly dwelling place, the tent tabernacle, would not be reunited until the day of the dedication of Solomon's new temple, where we started right at the beginning, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Okay, let me repeat that. The Lord's earthly throne, the ark, and his earthly dwelling place would not be reunited until the day of the dedication of Solomon's new temple. And I believe, brethren, that there are huge spiritual and prophetic symbolisms in both the separation and the reunification of these two, call them items, the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle, which eventually would become the temple. And we'll come back in our next episode in a couple of weeks' time. We'll come back to and discuss these symbolisms further. But with all of this in mind, let's go back now and let's reread. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6 and let's reread 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Of course, David didn't do it himself. He did it through the priests. He made those offerings. Okay. But again, we can ask the question, trying to visualize this, what kind of structure was this new tabernacle that David had built for the ark? Well, the Hebrew word is ohel. O-H-E-L, and if you want to look that up, that's Strong's 168, and it's elsewhere translated as tent, dwelling, place, covering, and home. Now also, the other notable word there, the King James Version English word pitched here in verse 17, certainly implies some kind of tent. What do you pitch a tent. And the word pitched is translated from the Hebrew verb natar, which is Strong's 5186, which is elsewhere translated as many other English words, notably including stretch, stretch out, stretch forth, outstretched, and spread. All of which are very appropriate alternate verbs when it comes to a tent, right? You know, you think about pitching a tent and you stretch the canvas over the poles and that kind of thing. All of these words, stretch, stretch out, all of those fit so very well with David's own later description of his new temporary housing for the ark. All right, let's go over to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 2. And look what he says, how he describes this. Question here is, what kind of structure was this new tabernacle that David had built? 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 2. The king, David of course, said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains. So again, you know, you think of that it was some kind of, you know, cloth or some kind of canvas type of thing. Well, however humble David's new temporary housing for the ark was, again, the important thing that I want to concentrate on is, where was it located? Where was it located? Was it located up on a different hill than the one where the Lord God planned his future stone temple to be located? Back in 2 Samuel chapter 24, we were told that following the plague that the Lord had brought upon Israel as a punishment for David's unauthorized military census, he, the Lord God, via that same punishing angel, guided David to Arauna's threshing floor, brought him specifically right there. And then the Lord God, via another prophet, the prophet Gad, instructed David to build an altar right there. That God told him through the prophet Gad, commanded David to build an altar right there around his threshing floor. And of course, David did as he was told. David obeyed, and he arranged for special sacrifices to be offered there, sacrifices to the Lord God, of course. But in order to build that altar and to have offerings made there, David deemed it proper and very necessary to purchase that threshing floor from Arauna. As he'd been commanded, David's altar there on Arauna's threshing floor became the precursor to Solomon's temple. And as we just read in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 1, let me just repeat it, what David said about the location of his new altar. He said, "This is the house," Hebrew word is bayit, "this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." So, not just an altar there, but also something, there was a house there, a bayit there. So we know this links the two. So an altar was built, and there was a housing built there, and we believe that house was to house the Ark of the Covenant. Now, isn't important? Please turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. And this is a really important verse now that we need to dig into a little bit before we finish today. So, as we were told earlier, in the Chronicles account of the beginning of the temple's construction, now, please read these words carefully. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. "Then Solomon began to build the house." Now, this is in Solomon's time now. So, to build the house, and again, the Hebrew word is bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H. To build the house of the Lord, so this is going to be Solomon's stone temple now, at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. Say Mount Zion, doesn't say in the city of David, says in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, Solomon's father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan, or Arauna, the Jebusite. Let me read that again, brethren. 2 Chronicles 3:1. "Then Solomon began to build a house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite." Now, my question is, brethren, was that so-called Mount Moriah, upon which David had his new altar built, was that the same hill as the one called Mount Zion, on which he had his new tabernacle built for the ark? Were they the same, or were they two different hills? Now, it's commonly taught, because of what's said here in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and what we read in 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 1, it's commonly taught that this so-called Mount Moriah was a different hill than that of Mount Zion, and that this most common opinion might explain why and how the ark was brought up to the new temple out of the city of David, which is Zion. That's what we read in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. It sounds plausible, doesn't it, brethren? It sounds plausible, but if that were truly the case, why is this The only mention of the so-called Mount Moriah in the whole of the Holy Bible. One mention, 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. Why is this the only mention of it, if it's such an important hill? Because, brethren, we just read before that there are a whopping 161 mentions of Zion. Many of those mentions of Zion tell us that it was Mount Zion that was the place that God chose to have his earthly dwelling place located. So it was on Mount Zion, it was on this so-called Mount Moriah. Let's quickly review just a few of these many scriptures. Let's just read four of them for the time being, and from four different writers in order to get some positivity, some agreement on this. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Look what God says. He say that his house is on Mount Moriah? No. He says, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. The Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. And then please turn over to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3 and verse 17. Joel chapter 3 and verse 17. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Zion, my holy mountain. And then on to Micah. Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. Reading these from different, there's lots more in there, brethren, but I want to read them from different prophets, you know, to show you that there's agreement between these prophets about where, what was the name of the place where God dwelt, what was God's earthly dwelling place. Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. Really famous one here in the Feast of Tabernacles. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. I didn't say the name there. Okay. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Okay. And finally, in this section now, Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 3. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. So I think you'll see, brethren, that those four scriptures are quite convincing in telling us the name of the location of God's earthly dwelling, Mount Zion. Okay, so we scratch our heads then as we look back at 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. What about that disturbing statement about Mount Moriah in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1? How can we reconcile it with these many clear Zion scriptures, Mount Zion scriptures? So I was kind of flummoxed, as they say in England, you know. And I lacked a totally clear answer to what I believe to be a very important question, a very important conundrum. So I went to the Q Bible, and Q Bible is a fantastic interlinear transliteration of the Bible, and especially the Old Testament scriptures. You can get that on the internet, and we have a link to it from our homepage there, on our Building Bridges website homepage. It's called Q Bible, and this is an interlinear translation. And I looked up this Chronicles verse here, 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1, and I went through and looked at the Hebrew, and I picked the verse apart word by word, and here's what I came up with, okay? So, and beginning, you know, with the correctly translated words, and Solomon began to build the house of the Lord Yahweh in Jerusalem. Now, here is the Q Bible's amplified transliteration of the rest of the verse, the controversial part of the verse, from the Hebrew and beginning right after the word Jerusalem. Okay, so just reading it all again. And Solomon began to build the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem. Now look, in the mountain, or the hill, or among the range of hills, seen of or looked upon by Yah, not Mount Moriah, brethren, but in the mountain or hill, or the range of hills, seen of or looked upon by Yah. And that's what Moriah means. It means looked upon by Yah. Yah is a shortened form of Yahweh, which had belonged to David, his father, Solomon's father, where David had prepared, readied, provided for, directed, ordered, fashioned, and confirmed the place and the threshing floor of Arnon, or Arauna, or Ornan, the Jebusite. Okay, let's simplify that. Let's shorten that up. In the hill that is looked upon by Yah, the hill which had belonged to David, Solomon's father, the hill where David had prepared, ready, provided for, directed, ordered, fashioned, and confirmed the place at the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. So from this, brethren, I don't believe that there ever was any such hill called Mount Moriah. I don't. I believe, read the Hebrew, and that's what it says. Rather, I believe that what the writer was saying here was that Solomon began to build the Lord's house on the hill that he, Yah, the Lord, looked upon most favorably. And from many of those 161 scriptural mentions, we can be totally sure that the hill that the Lord God looked upon most favorably was Mount Zion. Mount Zion, brethren. So, in conclusion, then, let's just summarize. Just to be clear, from what we've studied today, I believe that, number one, Mount Zion and the erroneously so-called Mount Moriah were one and the same hill. Number two, Solomon's new stone temple was built right next to David's temporary tent tabernacle. And number three, and referring right back to 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1, where we started today's study, on the day of the dedication of Solomon's new stone temple, the Ark of the Covenant was transferred into the new temple, the new stone temple, from David's tent tabernacle, which still stood right next door upon the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, upon that very same Mount Zion.